cardio, lifting weights, hiking, or running. These are all things that doctors tell us are good for our hearts. But how far does that take us in the things that go beyond this life? It is perhaps better to ask the question, what does it really mean to strengthen your heart? How well are you training your spirit? This week on Light of the Word Radio, Pastor Jim concludes the message he began last week on James 5, 7-11. And he asks the important question, are you strengthening your heart? Are you waiting expectantly for the return of the Lord? Before we join back in, let's hear the scripture once more. James 5, beginning at verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Now, let's join Pastor Jim and hear the truth.
Matthew 25, when the Lord is talking about the final judgment. Verse 21, he says, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into your master's joy. Brothers and sisters, we got to keep our face set to the return of Christ. When I've taught this before, and I've said this to people, I hear things like this. Yeah, but it may not be in my lifetime. But if you keep your face to it, and he decides he's bringing you home, and he calls you home before that, what have you lost? You have lived according to what he would have. And if he returned in that time, he would find you doing what is right in his eyes, or in other words, glorifying him. So this is the first command I see here, to be patient. The second command that I see in this is to establish your hearts. That's in the ESV is what I use to preach. That's a little harder to understand than what it should be. In the NASB, it says, strengthen your hearts. And I think that makes it a little clearer, isn't it? Establish your hearts, strengthen your hearts. Well, it's pretty easy to figure out what strengthen your heart means. It's to put our heart on those things of God. We need to encourage each other and encourage ourselves to stay the course and strengthen our heart. How do you strengthen your heart? It starts right here with this, brothers and sisters. It starts with this because if you will spend time in here, you will see and know the true and living God. There are so many gospels available to us in this day and age. So many. But there's only one true. And if we do not strengthen our hearts in the true gospel, we will be led astray and we will fall. Anything. Why do we need to be patient and strengthen our heart? I said it already. The return of the Lord is imminent. We know that he is coming back. But even if he comes back after my death, it is all the same. The judgment comes. There are so many references in Scripture to his return. I just want to hit a few. Matthew 24:42. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, it talks there about the thief in the night and keeping our face turned to him. 1 John 2 says, children, in the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. The last hour for what? For the Lord returns. There are many Antichrists that have come into the world. We have not yet seen the Antichrist, but we have seen the many Antichrists, and they are everywhere. Who is the Antichrist? It is the one who denies Christ, the true and living Christ. Revelation 3, verse 11. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. Revelation 22, 7. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Time after time, the word tells us that he is coming back. that his return is imminent. So are we keeping watch? Are we strengthening our hearts? I've been asking for questions for us to use on the radio. And last week I had two different people submit questions. Whew, they gave me some good ones too. And I'm going to get the answers to those put together so that we can use them on the radio. But people have questions, and answering the questions truthfully and biblically that match God's word and is from the true gospel, that strengthens the heart. We all have questions, don't we? There's things in God's word that don't make sense, that we don't understand. There's things I don't understand in God's word. There's things I have sought out, and God has not yet seen fit to give me the understanding. So I continue on. But when he does give us understanding on things, it grows us, it feeds our maturity, and allows us to establish our heart. But instead, as Christians, we get busy with other things. We get busy grumbling against each other. We get busy putting ourselves higher than someone else, judging other people, in other words, which James has already addressed, we've already talked about. But we get to grumbling against people. We've talked before how the color of carpets or the color of chairs, pews, has split so many churches. Now that's an important doctrine to split a church on, isn't it? Maybe not. It has split churches because people's hearts and minds are on themselves and their own desires and not what is right before God. So they grumble against each other. They judge each other. But James says, behold, this is verse 9, the judge is standing at the door. Gives this idea of the judge is looking in. The judge is paying attention. He's standing at the door. Others, they think it like this. When you go into a courtroom, and when court's ready to start, the judge comes out of his quarters, out of his room. And as he comes in, everybody rises and court is called in session. As the judge enters, the judge is about to enter. Who is the judge? It is Jesus Christ. He is standing at the door. He is paying attention. And he is coming back. And he is the one who will judge all of our deeds. Some Christians tell me, I'm a Christian and I'm not going to get judged. You will not face the judgment of eternal hell. But everything you have done, everything you have said, will be brought forward. It will be revealed. We will stand before God. So the judge is coming. The Lord is coming. He goes on to use the example here of the prophets. Think about the prophets. What did Jesus say that the Jews have done to the prophets? He says, you killed them. Why? Because they did not want truth. In a state of worldliness, even those who profess Jesus Christ do not want truth. In a state of worldliness, what we want is what we want, and it doesn't matter what God says. And we take His word, and we adjust His word to fit what we want it to say. We misinterpret things that don't even need to be interpreted so that it'll fit what we want it to say, that it'll fit our ideas. We do this for a very simple reason. We want. I always tell the story of us getting kicked out of Manhattan, about the man coming to church that we rented from. We were renting a building and telling me that when he left church, he expected to be floating on a cloud and that I was no longer to preach about sin. And that next day, I preached about sin. On Wednesday of that week, we received an eviction notice. He was serious. He seriously didn't want God's word. He seriously wanted something other than God's word to make him feel good. But all that would do is give him comfort straight to hell when God's word may attack us and challenge us, but it gives us life. The Lord's return is imminent. There's some things that we see happening around us that would suggest that it is imminent. One of those things is the world is focused on Israel. You know that Israel is the 97th largest nation in the world. Let me put that in another way. Israel and Honduras are about the same size. Yet, how much of our news circles around Israel. This world is focused on end times, on the end of the world. When I was in high school, the end of the world was coming because we had eaten a hole in the ozone. And it was getting bigger and bigger, and pretty soon we were all going to fry. Cynthia's smiling. She remembers those teachings. Today, and it's not to take anything away from those things, but the end of the world isn't coming until Christ comes. But today we have all sorts of ideas out there of the end of the world. There are ideas of zombies. We have people that believe that aliens are going to come. If you look up into the world asteroid, there is a theory right now that there is an asteroid that is working its way to Earth and is going to blow it up. That when it hits the Earth, it will explode. And then, of course, we've got the H1N1. We've got SARS. We've got coronavirus. We have all these things that are all the end of the world. Well, people have it right. The end of the world is coming, but it's coming with Christ's return and then the judgment. We see a growing apostasy in the church. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings." And folks, we see that all around us. We have Christian radio stations and TV stations that is nothing more than a Jesus-laced teaching of demons. We have so-called Christian songs that is nothing more than a Christian-laced demon sermon. They're teachings. People are falling away from church. The great thing that we hear today is, "Well, I don't believe in the organized church." Well, then you don't believe in the church of Jesus Christ, because that's what his is organized. We have growing wickedness in this world. 2 Timothy 3, first five verses. "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having an appearance of godliness but denying its power." Avoid such people, Paul says. The wickedness in this world is growing, and it's called good. We call things good that are evil. We call things that are evil good. We've got it all mixed up. I was listening to Michael Youssef this week, and since I just said that about the zombies, I thought I'd back up for a second. Michael Youssef says that he never goes out anywhere on a Saturday night. He said if he goes somewhere on a Saturday night, he'll engage in conversation with somebody, which will stimulate his mind, and then he will not be able to sleep, so he won't be rested, and he'll come to church preaching looking like a zombie. And he said, both of us don't need to be zombies, talking to his audience. We need to be turning our thoughts and minds to those things that are right and good, not to the wickedness in this world that is growing. It's real easy to look around us and see a one-world economy in sight. We can see that coming. It's addressed in Revelation. We can look around, and we are not far from being able to monitor or have surveillance on anybody anywhere. Or maybe I should change the way I said that. On everybody, everywhere. We're not far from that. This world is hurrying. As Christians, we need to be different. We need to be different. We need to be salt. We need to stand out as salt. Not to grumble against each other, but to establish our hearts in His Word. There is a true famine. People do not know they're hungry for God's Word. In fact, they're not hungry for it. There's no desire for it. I have actually had people tell me they go to a particular church not because of what is preached, but because of how long they preach. I've had people say, "Well, I can be in and out by this time." Oh, that's important. I've had people tell me they go to a particular church because that pastor says the things that they like to hear, the things that they agree with. Find it more important, does this pastor say the things that God agrees with, that God wants to be said? I think that's far more important. We have to ask the question, are we ready? His return is coming. As I go back to our text, behold, this is verse 11, "Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast." You have heard of the steadfastness. Well, Robert read that this morning about the steadfastness of Job. And in the end, I always thought that was amazing. He got 140 more years after all those trials. I always thought it was amazing how God brought to him everything and then some that he had lost. He restored him. That's what it means. God's restoring brings us more than we could ever lose. And one day, for those who are his, for those who are patient, for those who keep watch, for those who establish their hearts, he will bring us to that place and he will lift us up and he will glorify himself. It takes that steadfastness, that mercy. Now back up again to verse 10. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. I started into the prophets and I jumped out. Let's go back to them for just a minute. As we think of the prophets, they brought the word of God. The true prophets brought the word of God. Even when it wasn't popular, John the Baptist brought the truth. What did it cost him? He lost his head for it. They have killed the prophets, the scripture said. They have attacked them. Jesus said that they've hated him. They're going to hate you too. Who is it that he says they're going to hate? Those who go to church? No. Those who serve the true and living God with all their heart. I said in a sermon one time that if you get no persecution from people, if nobody ever questions you or no one ever challenges you with the word of God that you teach or you share, then you probably aren't teaching the word of God, or at least not as much as you ought to be. Because when the world hears God's word, they will hate it. They will hate it. We have these gospels of nicety. I don't know what else to call them. These aren't true gospels. These gospels of nicety are simply man saying what people want to hear. We become pleasers of men and not pleasers of God. And as pleasers of men, we are more concerned that somebody might be offended by what God says than that they might go to hell if they don't hear what God said. Folks, we need to stand up. We need to wake up. Now is the time to wake up. Now is the time to keep watch. Now is the time to prepare our hearts, because the Lord is going to return, and he's going to return very soon. And we need to be found keeping the course, steadfastness. If the Lord's return was last night, what would it have found? What would he have found you doing? Would he have found you honoring him? Just stop for just a second before we close with this. That doesn't mean you can't do things. That doesn't mean that 24 hours of every day you're studying his word and preaching. No, that's not what it means. The scripture says, whether you eat or drink, do all things for the glory of God. You can do all things for the glory of God that are worth doing. If you can't glorify God in something, then there's no reason to do it. But you can do all things for his glory, even eating and drinking. So the question isn't, were you doing a Bible study last night? The question is this: if the Lord returned last night, would he have caught you serving him, honoring him, glorifying him? Or would he have caught you loving the world? I'm afraid that too many nights, too many days of my life, he would have caught me loving the world. But I don't want to love the world. I want to turn away from who I was and keep my eyes focused on the other end. Or as Paul calls it, the prize of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand with me. Father, as we close this morning, Lord, we lift up to you this message. I pray, Father, that it was your words and not mine. I pray, Father, that you continue to move me out of the way and speak to those that hear the messages that you give me, that you be glorified in them. I pray, Father, that you would move upon the hearts and have moved upon the hearts of those who hear, and that going forward, things would be different for them. The things that they do in their life would be for your glory. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray.
Amen. What a question we have to face. Just what would Christ have caught you doing last night? How well is your life, is my life, honoring Jesus? Does your life speak of loving God, or does it speak of loving the world? There's no time to fix your life once you stand before the throne of judgment. The only time we have to do that is now. And we must be confident of the fact that the coming of the Lord is imminent. And that coming should invigorate us to labor for his kingdom, to look longingly for his return, to joyfully await that return. May we all say, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord. Now, please stay tuned for a message from Pastor Jim on the importance of church in the lives of believers.
Hello, friends. Thank you for tuning in with us. I wanted to take a moment today to visit with you a minute about the importance of church service. Sadly, we live in a day when people feel as if church is unimportant. In fact, we have had governors and city officials across this nation this year say that church is not essential. One day was at a convenience store and struck up a conversation with a man in line, and he was telling me of his faith, but yet he did not believe, he said, in corporate worship. Oh, what a sad, sad thing that is to me. Not because I am a pastor, because my love for and my understanding of the need of corporate worship came long before I was ever a pastor. We know that church and church attendance or our worship is essential. It is essential for people to gather together. We encourage each other. We worship God as one. We are the body, and the body needs all of its parts. And so we come together and we worship together. We make much of God. It is our responsibility, it is our duty as Christians to glorify God. And part of glorifying God is spending time in worship together, that we, with one voice, sing songs to Him. Now, those songs need to be good songs. They need to be songs that have doctrine in them. They need to be songs that go both horizontal and vertical. And what I mean by that, horizontally, as we teach songs to others in the church, as they learn those songs, as they memorize those songs, they are memorizing doctrine in good Christian songs, whether it's an old hymn or a new hymn. But we need that sharing of that doctrine amongst ourselves. And then those songs, they stick in our heart and our mind, and we'll find ourselves singing doctrine when we're out and about. But when I say it goes also vertical, we're singing praises to God. And what does He love to hear more than from our hearts? His word. And so when we're singing His word back to Him, we are praising Him, we are worshiping Him, we are glorifying Him. So that's one reason we need to gather. But we also need to gather to encourage each other in the word. I heard an illustration one time, many years ago, about a pastor who was visiting someone, and they were discussing his going to church. And this man kept telling the pastor that he just didn't see a reason that he could be a Christian sitting at home, as well as sitting in the church. And that pastor reached over to the fire that was burning, and he moved one coal out of the fire. And as the two of them sat there in silence and watched, pretty soon that coal went from red to black as it began to cool down and die out. Brothers and sisters, without each other in Christ by His Spirit, encouraging each other in the Word, it is easy for us to die out. It is easy for us to fall away, to not worship. Church is essential. Church is a place where we come to worship. Church is a place where we gather to make much of God. Church is a place where we encourage each other. But it's also a place that when we are downtrodden, when we feel beaten by the world, by the flesh, we come and lift each other up. How encouraging it is that after a hard week of trying to stand for what is right before God, and you come into the church, and in the church you get to be encouraged back to strength. People loving you with the love of Christ. This is important. Let me go ahead and get to a couple of scriptures. Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Oh, friends, the day is drawing near. The end of times is coming soon. And we need to be encouraged. We need to not neglect the gathering together. But we're also to follow the example of Christ and the apostles. And some of those verses I wanted to read to you as well. Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Or in other words, they gathered together, they broke bread, And they prayed and they studied the teachings that the disciples, the apostles, brought from Christ. Romans 12:5. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. We are members one of another as a church, and we need that. I know that there have been times in my life where I have missed church for 2 or 3 weeks. I had a time with shoulder surgeries where I was out for a period of time. I truly missed my brothers and sisters. I missed the encouragement. I missed the getting together. I missed the love and the making much of God with them. It is something that you can't replace with anything else. In today's world, we say our church services are being done online. We have the radio. We have the TV. We have all these different preachers that we can watch. We have a smorgasbord of things that we can pick up and look at on TV and hear that is God's word. And there are many that are good. There are many that are not, but there are many that are good. But as a true Christian, I believe with all my heart, and I believe the scriptures support, we cannot be satisfied not gathering together. That is something that he puts in our heart. That is something that is part of salvation, that we would gather together to make much of Christ. And if that is missing, there is something else that's missing too. It is the Spirit that draws us to that. What should we expect in the church and from the Word? 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 says this. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. We should expect that. Acts 20 and verse 7. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. Some of their gatherings were quite long, but they got together. And on the first day of the week, that's the Lord's Day. That's the day we come together on the Lord's Day. So I urge you, if you are not in church, find a Bible-preaching church and be in church. If you are watching it online instead of in person, find a Bible-preaching church and be there. If you're a part of a church that you love that teaches the Bible, but for whatever reason during this time of COVID and all this, they are closed, then find a Bible-preaching church to attend until yours opens again. I implore you, be in church. Worship God with the body. Again, I thank you for listening. And we pray that these messages encourage you in the Word of God.
We want to thank you for joining us today. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance and want us to pray for you, please reach out and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352, or you can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request, for a gift of any size, we will send you the book, On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History, by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar with stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. Thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you will join us next time on Light of the Word Radio. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you and bless the hearing of his word.